from a Jewish perspective, the greatest way for a Rav or someone who is involved in teaching in Chinuch is to teach by example. Not only for a Rav, not only in Rabbanos, but even as parents, the greatest or most effective way to teach and to relate a lesson to our peers, to our students, to our children, is through example. Chazal, the Rabbonim, always credited the power of shtika, of remaining silent. Lo matzati tov laguf yoter mishtika, the Mishnah in Avot says. I did not find anything greater, any greater attribute than the ability to remain silent when it was necessary. But at the same time, when a person can remain silent, and when it is enjoined with moral action, that is indeed the most effective way that a person relates and teaches a lesson to his people. And there is a remarkable insight in this week's parsha, which reveals the greatness and the outstanding character of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership, which not only is insightful with regards to Moshe, but obviously from the Torah's perspective, is insightful to us in how we should lead, in how we should be demonstrative to others in our lives. Interestingly enough, when one looks in the heart of this week's Parsha, Parshat Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Moshe that his days are numbered. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Alei el har ha'avarim hazeh, Ure'ei et ha'aretz asher natati livnei Yisrael. A very strange episode transpires here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells or instructs Moshe to go up, to ascend Har HaAvarim, which we'll speak about in a few moments, and to see the land Asher Natati Livnei Yisrael, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have given to Am Yisrael. Veraita ota veneesafta el amecha, and you will see it, and you will be collected amongst your nation, or to your nation, which presumably al pi pashtut, the simple understanding means that it is referring to the fact that Moshe will sit on high in Olam Haba, basking in the glory of the rest of the great leaders of Am Yisrael, in the court of the Shechina, of the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues, Kasher meritem pi b'midbar tzin b'merivat ha'ida lakdisheni b'mayim le'inehem, heim mei merivat kadesh midbar tzin. Just as you unfortunately sinned in front of me by the Mei Merivah, the dispute that took place with regards to the water, a few parshiot ago we read about it in Parshat Chukat, whereby Moshe or Klal Yisrael complained that they don't have water, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, we're all familiar with the story, to talk to the rock, not to hit the rock, and Moshe doesn't listen, and therefore, unfortunately, the dire consequences by which Moshe is punished, he cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds Moshe of it here, as he tells him that he is about to leave his nation, that he is about to leave the world, and to be collected into Olam Haba. And there are a number of questions which are rather obvious and very difficult to understand. The first question within the text of the Torah, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe, Ure'ei et ha'aretz asher natati livnei Yisrael? Look upon the land that I have given to Am Yisrael. Moshe knows fully well that this was the land that was given to Bnei Yisrael. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to remind him of that fact? Question number two. What does it mean, v'ne'esafta el amecha, you will be collected into the heart of your nation? Now we understand, as I mentioned before, that it means that he'll be or sit amongst the nation up above, the nation of leaders, the nation of Talmidei Chachamim, outstanding scholars who sit on high in Olam Haba. But I think that there is a different interpretation to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe here at this particular juncture. And then the Torah continues, and this is the most strange. Kasher meritem pimit barzin. Kadosh Baruch Hu reminds Moshe of the sin that he did. This also doesn't make sense. Why kick a guy while he's down? We know that Moshe is being told at this point that he's going to die of his demise, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu finds it necessary to remind him while he tells him that he's leaving this world, to remind him of the grave error, the one sin that marked the destruction of his leadership or the inability of him to go into Eretz Yisrael. The downfall or the down point of Moshe's leadership. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to remind Moshe at this juncture, while he's telling him that he's going to depart from this world, of the sin that he transgressed by not listening, by not being Mekadesh Hashem, not sanctifying God's name by the Mei Merivah, the bitter waters where Klal Yisrael complained? It doesn't make sense. Why is it necessary? So I think if we look for a moment and we reflect back in Parshat Chukat, Parshat Chukat, after Moshe makes the error, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron, la ya'an lo he'emantim bi lakdisheni le'nei b'nei Yisrael. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. The fact that you did not listen to me, you did not believe in me, you did not sanctify my name in front of B'nai Yisrael. And then the Torah says, Heima mei meriva asher ravu B'nai Yisrael et Hashem vayikadesh bam. This is the episode that took place in the place called Mei Meriva, the waters of dispute. And it appears that there is no reaction whatsoever by Moshe Rabbeinu with regards to the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. And we would be prone to say, well, there is a reaction. Moshe doesn't react, he doesn't cry, he doesn't complain, he doesn't make any appeals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that too is his greatness. The greatness of shtika, the greatness of silence, the greatness of accepting reprimand where is necessary. And Moshe accepts God's judgment. But interestingly enough, the Torah, immediately after telling us that this is what took place in Mei Meriva, the Torah continues, Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. Klal Yisrael are now traveling and venturing into the lands of Edom, a sworn enemy of Am Yisrael. And Moshe immediately sends messengers, malachim, to scout out the area, to talk with Melech Edom in order so that they can continue their sojourn in the Midbar, arriving that much closer to Eretz Yisrael. It appears that there is no reaction from Moshe when he hears of his punishment. But in actuality, Rabotai, this is precisely the reaction of Moshe. Moshe sends malachim. Moshe sends messengers to Melech Edom. Moshe is aware that the next challenge that Am Yisrael have to face is a nation that wants to destroy it, is a sworn enemy named Edom against Am Yisrael. And therefore Moshe's reaction to God's punishment is precisely that. Moshe says, I am back on the job. There is no time to wait. There is no time to wait. There is no time to reflect upon my punishment. There is a task at hand. And that is the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu understands fully well that there is no time to reflect upon his personal problem, upon his personal punishment. Moshe says, let's move on. Bring on the next challenge. What can we do for the betterment of Am Yisrael to continue their ability to enter Eretz Yisrael? Let us try and move on and arrive at the goal at hand, the task that lies in front of us. This, Rabotai, is the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that he does not procrastinate. The fact that he does not reflect upon himself, but rather he is interested exclusively in bringing forward the interest of Am Yisrael. When I was a Rav in a certain town in the United States, I cannot, Chalila, not to compare, God forbid, to Moshe Rabbeinu, lahavdil elef alfei avdolot, but there were a number of times when I personally experienced the urgency of the moment. I recall one time sitting at home, I had just come home from Minyan, I went home to have some breakfast, and I get a knock at my door early in the morning, and a woman is in tears, and she says, Rabbi, my father is so ill, I don't know what to do, I'm confused, I'm not sure when it's going to be his last moment, Rachmana Litzlan. And without pause, I said to her, let's get in the car, I'm coming with you straight away to the hospital, and we'll deal with this together as one. And that was one of the few moments that I could actually say that I had a successful rabbinate. Because what happens is when a person sees people in front of him with pain, with anguish, he says to himself, I'm willing to put aside all of my own personal agendas and I'm going to help that person. I feel for that person at that moment. That is the greatness of the opportunity that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us. But it is a challenge of Jewish leadership. Does one respond by thinking of themselves? Or does one say there is a task at hand, there is a mission to fulfill that has to be taken at this immediate moment? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal is brought down in the Nefesh HaRav by Rav Shechter. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was asked, what does it mean to be a successful Rav? So of course we would think, certainly at the time of Rav Chaim, we would say that the successful Rav is someone who knows how to wow the crowd with a wondrous sermon of great words, a drasha. Perhaps we would call it a sleepless sermon. That's possible. Or we would say that a great Rav is someone who could give over a tremendous shiur, tremendous lecture, with lumdus, depth, analysis, understanding, and he can hit a sensitive chord to the people who he's speaking to. But Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained that is not the function, the goal, or the job of a Rav, of a kehillah, of a congregation. The job of a Rav of a Kehillah is to show and demonstrate sensitivity to the people who are in front of him. To be compassionate, to be understanding, to be sensitive to the people around him. It's amazing to me. I've come across a number of Rabbonim throughout the years that I have colleagues that I've gone lecturing throughout the United States and other parts of the world. And there are Rabbanim, believe it or not, who are extremely boring, who do not speak well, who cannot possibly transmit a message. And yet, they are beloved wholeheartedly by their congregation. And one wonders why. And when you see the concern, the compassion, the love that they exude to their congregation, then it becomes obvious. Because what people are looking for in the end of the day is for someone who they can relate to, someone who they can connect to. Moshe Rabbeinu was Migam Game. He was not necessarily the greatest spokesman. He had a stutter, according to Chazal, and yet he was beloved by his people. Why? Because his main concern and his main demonstration of concern was for Am Yisrael. That was the greatness. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in introducing Moshe's death, he tells Moshe, Alei el hara avarim, ure'ei et ha'aretz asher natati livnei Yisrael. This is not a description of Eretz Yisrael, Rabotai. But rather, this is a description of who Moshe Rabbeinu is. Asher natati livnei Yisrael. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are someone who is full of servitude, of sacrifice for the sake of Am Yisrael. You were given, or you gave of yourself to Bnei Yisrael. That is the type of person who you are. He is not stating the obvious, but rather crediting Moshe's attitude, Moshe's demonstration that he has as he approaches his people. This past week, there was an article which was published in the Jerusalem Post by Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, a Rav who served, I believe, for over 40 years in Atlanta, Georgia, in Beth Jacob, a large congregation. And he wrote an article which was entitled, "The Inability to Say I'm Sorry." How the leaders, unfortunately, in Am Yisrael today, I talk about the president of Eretz Yisrael, the prime minister of Eretz Yisrael, past prime ministers of Eretz Yisrael, who have the audacity to continue to promote themselves as capable of serving Am Yisrael, not recognizing the fact that they were willing to compromise 98% of territories of the Shtachim of Eretz Yisrael to terrorists, to people who were prepared and would involve themselves in killing innocent Jewish people, not willing to recognize the mistakes that they made with their withdrawal from Lebanon and how many lives were lost, and the war that started last summer as a result of that withdrawal. Not willing to recognize that they were willing to compromise the Golan Heights for the sake of their own personal glory. Not willing to recognize the horrible consequences, the dangerous consequences that Am Yisrael continue to suffer to this day by the Oslo Accords, and yet they continue to promote themselves with their own agendas, with their own interests, in the interest of self-promotion. Certainly not in the interest or understanding or recognition of Am Yisrael, of serving a Jewish nation. And Rabbi Feldman goes on to explain, why can't they simply say, "I'm sorry, I apologize, we made mistakes, and we are willing to suffer the consequences of those mistakes, and bow out, and say that now we apologize and we are no longer looking to serve or to lead Am Yisrael." But they do not have the ability to do so, because they are blinded by their own grandeur and their own grandiose, by their haughtiness and pompousness, which leads their vision, or lack of it thereof. A Jewish leader all revolves around communal responsibility. And I thought it quite appropriate that it would be Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, an outstanding Rav, a Rav who served his Kehila for over 40 years, that in itself a tremendous challenge to remain consistent and be with the same Kehila for so many years. Someone who served as a Rav, someone who demonstrated compassion, sensitivity, care towards his Kehila, towards his congregation, that he would be the one to write such an article, because who better to completely understand and comprehend what it means to lead a Jewish nation as Moshe Rabbeinu had done. And therefore it's unfortunate that even in our generation there exists a strife, there exists tension between the balabatim, between the average congregants, and between the Rav who tries to lead them. How many games take place? How much uprooting transpires between this relationship that should be a competent one, a comfortable one, and yet becomes one where there are games and there is a certain amount of attempts to uproot the power of the rabbi, to destroy what the rabbi is trying to do. It's a horrible thing. It takes all the sincerity of what the rabbi is attempting to do and what he's attempting to achieve. It takes it all out of the rabbinate, when in actuality there could be a relationship of unity, of understanding, of compassion between the Rav and his Kehila, and thereby that relationship could be so successful to promote the interests of a congregation, of the institution, of what a shul represents. Moshe understood what the relationship has to be between a Jewish leader and his constituents, between a Jewish leader and a B'nai Yisrael. He is the prima donna of what it means to lead Am Yisrael with a vision, with an understanding, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, is not reminding Moshe of the sin that he transgressed, but rather perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws in a mention of the Mei Merivah, of the bitter waters, not to remind Moshe of his mistake, but rather to demonstrate to Moshe his greatness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, even though you sinned, Kasher Meritem, Hey Merimei Merivat Kadesh Midbartzin, even though you sinned, what was your interest? You did not appeal to me. You did not come to me and review the situation. You did not beg with me to change my decision. But rather you are someone who said, Vayishlach Malachim El Eretz Edom. You sent messengers to the land of Edom because that is precisely the type of personality and character who you are. You are interested in your people. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Moshe's death as V'ne'esafta el amecha. You will be gathered up by your people. Perhaps this is not referring to Olam Haba, but rather to Olam Hazeh. In this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you will be gathered by your people. You will never be forgotten. Even when you are no longer, you are still amongst them. You are still a part of who they are. Your actions, your sensitivity, your love for them is an influence with effectiveness that remains even when you are distant, even when you are no longer around the parameters of Am Yisrael. You are very much V'ne'esafta El Amecha. You are very much embraced and loved and part of the Jewish nation that you have led so loyally without any personal agenda for so many years. Kadosh Baruch Hu conveys the significance of communal concern as opposed to a personal one. And this idea applies even today. How important it is for all of us not to turn a shul, an institution of kedushah, of sanctity, into a playground by which everyone is trying to behead the rabbi, by which everyone is trying to uproot the strength, and whereby the rabbi, on the other hand, is not attempting to wield his personal agenda or his personality amongst his people, but rather where the rabbi is concerned in demonstrating a love, a need to lead his congregation, his Jewish people, out of the sincere purpose of bringing them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And interestingly enough, immediately after HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Moshe of his passing, what is Moshe's reaction? Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem leimor. Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does not cry, he does not ask for more gratitude, but what does he say? Yifkor Hashem Elokei Aruchot Nechobasar Ish Aleida Asher Yetzei Lifneihem V'Asher Yavo Lifneihem. Moshe says, please, pick a leader for Am Yisrael who can now go in front of them, who will go behind them, who will lead them into the next challenge of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, of entry into the promised land. The greatness of Moshe, even at this point, when he is described that he is now leaving Am Yisrael, he turns to Hashem. And he says, do not leave them katzon asher ein lehem ro'eh. Do not leave them as a flock of sheep who have no herder, who have no shepherd. But let us appoint the right person so that the interest of Am Yisrael's success continues. That is the greatness of who Moshe Rabbeinu is. He is constantly concerned with the betterment of his people, of Am Yisrael, because he understands what it means to serve Hashem. It is interesting that this parsha coincides with this week's fast day, or this past week's fast day, of Shivasar Betamuz. The Gemara in Nedarim says, Ama avda haaretz. Why was Eretz Yisrael lost? Why was the Beit HaMikdash ruined and destroyed in the catastrophe as we know it? It was something that was posed to the Chachamim, to the scholars of the generation, the Nevi'im, even the prophets of the generation. And they didn't know the answer. Kadosh Baruch Hu responded by himself, capital H. Al azvem et torati asher natati lifnehem. Klal Yisrael left my Torah. That would seem to be a rather obvious formula for destruction. And therefore the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Lomar She'ein Mevorchin Batorah Tchila. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says, strangely enough, this Gemara comes to teach us that Am Yisrael did not say the Birkat HaTorah, did not recite the blessings on learning Torah during that particular time, and therefore that destroyed the Chorban Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash itself. And the Chorah, this doesn't make sense. Okay, so they didn't say the blessings on the Torah, on learning Torah, but they immersed themselves in the study of Torah? What more can we expect? Okay, we want them to make brachot, not necessarily brachot de'oraita, they're even brachot de'rabanan. So what's so terrible? What is the crime that they didn't say the blessings before they studied Torah? Nonetheless, they studied Torah. And the Bach says that this lack of saying, this ignorance of not saying the brachot was or demonstrated a lack of interest in why they were learning Torah. Says the Bach, Lo asku b'Torah ki'im lehana'atam, v'gam lehitga'ot leharot chachmatam, v'lo nitkavnu lehidabek beruchniut ha'Torah. The one reason why they immersed themselves in the study of Torah was not for the sake of Am Yisrael, but was for the sake of self-promotion, was the result of a personal agenda, a personal interest in showing their haughtiness, in demonstrating to all people around them the knowledge that they knew, the wisdom that they had. But it was not for the sake of the betterment of the congregation, of the furtherment of Am Yisrael. And this, Rabotai, was a tremendous demonstration of lack of regard for what the Torah's purpose is. And therefore, the Torah describes Yoshua, the next leader of Am Yisrael, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, a man who is of spirit, says the Netziv Mivolozhin, Rucho Haino Daito. His spirit is what's in his mind. Omeid bifnei atzmo ve'eino nimshach achar hanitiyah lehanat atzmo o acherim. What does it mean, isha sheruach bo, a man of spirit? It means someone who is not influenced by the popular vote, because he is concerned for the populace. He is someone who does not think about how he can benefit personally, but rather how the nation, how the people around him can benefit from his leadership and get closer to the Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Ruchniut, spirituality. And therefore, it is quite fitting that the place that Moshe Rabbeinu would be collected from his nation or unto his nation and leave this physical world is called Har HaAvarim. Har HaAvarim, Avarim comes from the word La'avor, Avar. It is past, or it is time to pass on or to move on. And essentially this applies to Am Yisrael throughout history. It is not insulting to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, now Klal Yisrael have to move on to a new period of history. Why is it not insulting? because there is an understanding that this moving on is based upon all of the foundations, the teaching, the direction, the mentoring, and the guidance that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Am Yisrael, the confidence to lead Am Yisrael with security based on purpose, goal, achievement, and values. That is who Moshe was, and that is why Bnei Yisrael are able now to move on to a new period of history, the period of Yehoshua ben Nun. The greatest compliment to Jewish leadership is to be Ne'esafta El Amecha, to leave this world, but never to leave. To not be here anymore, but to still be very influential, based on the teachings and the morals that were given over to the people that you showed concern to while you walked in this world. This is precisely who Moshe is. This is precisely what the Torah or the Parsha wants to demonstrate to us with regards not only to past history of our leaders, of a Moshe, of a Yehoshua, but to ourselves and how we lead our homes, and how we lead our jobs, and how we conduct our daily tidings, and certainly to how we conduct our business and the institution of the shul, the Beit Knesset, and how the relationship exists between the Rav and the congregation, and between our leaders of Am Yisrael and of Eretz Yisrael. If we appreciate that we must learn and nurture an attitude by which we become people who are interested in each other and not in ourselves, that we are interested in furthering the cause of Am Yisrael and of Eretz Yisrael, then in Mirtz Hashem we will be zoche to appreciate and fully understand the great relationship that has to exist between Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Manhigei Bnei Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. When the Torah introduces Pinchas, it says, Pinchas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon the Kohen. Why does the Torah have to specify who Pinchas' grandfather was? Shabbat Shalom.